Almighty God, let us hear the word today clearly, and let us have the desire to obey. Cause your Spirit, we pray, to operate powerfully. Let us hide your word in our hearts, that we might not sin against you, but rather that we might bring glory to you through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let us open our Bibles to chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Page 619 in the Pew Bible. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Page 619. Let us give heed to the holy word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And thus we end this portion of God's holy word. In the first half of this letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is led by the Spirit to explain to them and to us how God has worked in the hearts of His people. How God the Father has elected us from before the foundation of the world. How through God the Son, we have redemption in His blood and the forgiveness of sins. How as children of God, we have been sealed by the blessed Holy Spirit of promise. And he goes on to explain this further through the first three chapters. And then in chapter 4, the apostle begins to tell us by the Spirit that since believers have been brought to the Lord Jesus Christ and united to Him, since our hearts have been changed, since we've been born again, since the Holy Spirit lives in us, we should behave differently. And in chapter 4, verse 1, he reminds us that we are to walk worthy of the calling we have received from God. He talks about putting off the old life and putting on the new. And as part of that, he has begun in chapter 5, verse 21, to tell us of relationships with one another, and that we must be submissive to one another. And then he proceeded to tell us about husbands and wives, telling us that wives should submit to their husbands and husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. But now, in our text for this morning, he comes to another relationship within the family. The Christian family should be different than other families in the world, as Christian marriage should be different than non-Christian marriage. Comes to talk about children and parents in this section. Christ influences husbands and wives. Christ influences individual Christians. Christ influences the relationship between Christian parents and covenant children. He influences everything. And now as we get into this, the relationship of parents to children and children to parents, we must remember that the primary relationship over that in the home is the husband to the wife. When a husband and wife have children, the whole dynamic changes within the family. Lots of schedules change. Relationships change. Lots of things change. The budget changes. Lots of things change. But of most importance in the family is that the husband-to-wife relationship remain intact as the most important one. Or sometimes when children come along, children become more important than the relationship between husband and wife. That should not be. Both are important, but the children should not be allowed to damage that relationship between husband and wife. Now, with that in mind, here we go. Children, obey your parents. Fathers and mothers, raise your children in a godly way. That's in summary form what we want to see here. It is a reasonable and natural thing for children to obey their parents. They really know this by common sense. And we all know this by common sense. But today, there seems to be little common sense, right? And so things have been turned topsy-turvy in some families. Hollywood has given us the situation comedy in which families are portrayed. And in this family that Hollywood gives to us, the husband is always stupid. The wife is trying to run the house. And the children, well, they are wiser than their parents. And they do as they please. And many homes in America have taken that cue from Hollywood. But that's not God's way. In the Christian family, parents teach their children God's love and His ways. They teach them the gospel of salvation and Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Christian family, in fact, is like a small church. But that family needs the fellowship of the local congregation, of course. So today, consider with me children and parents in the Christian home. First, you'll see the outline on the back page of your bulletin. First, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Secondly, fathers, raise your children in the Lord. Thirdly, Christians are children of the Heavenly Father. First of all, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In verse 1, chapter 6, Paul writes, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now notice how Paul does not say this, okay? Notice how Paul does not say this. This is a letter to a Christian church, right? And so he's writing to a congregation, to Christians who lived in the city of Ephesus in the first century, right? And so when he comes to chapter 6, the first word is children. The church met together to read the letter. And what happens when the church gets together to read the letter? They're reading along, they're coming fairly close to the end of the letter from Paul the Apostle, and all of a sudden the word children pops up. So here the congregation is gathered together, and the reader picks up the scroll, and he comes to this part, which we have divided into chapter 6. It wasn't then, but we've divided it here, and it comes to chapter 6. And all of a sudden, the congregation is sitting before the reader, and he says, children, do you know what that means? He didn't say, parents, tell your children to obey you. No. He didn't say, elders of the church, tell the covenant children to obey their parents. No, he didn't say that. He said, children, I am addressing you directly because I know you will be in the assembly of the church at Ephesus when they meet. Because children are part of the congregation and children are part of the kingdom of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Children, you are important to God. Children are not objects. They are little persons. Jesus had an incident one day with children, didn't he? Little children were being brought to Jesus, and the disciples rebuked those who brought the children. Jesus said in Mark 10, 14 and 15, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Mark 10, 14 and 15. Did you get that? Children of God. Children are in the kingdom. Did you think it would be all adults up there? In Genesis 17, verse 7, the Lord said, "I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you." Genesis 17:7. Children were included in the covenant then. In Acts 2:38 and 39, Peter spoke and he said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Acts 2:38 and 39. The gospel promises to believers and their children. The children of believers are in the covenant. They are under the authority of their parents. They are a part of the church. And later, as they grow, they may renounce their parents' faith. We don't know. Or they may profess their own faith as God leads them. But children are important in the sight of God. And the apostle begins what we call chapter 6, verse 1 with the word children. Now, children, obey your parents. Listen to them. This is your duty under God. To disobey your parents is sin. It is wrong. It is rebellion against God. And these are your parents in the Lord. This is a Christian home where your parents teach you Christian things, where they teach you to love the Lord and obey Him. Many children are not born into Christian homes, and it's a privilege and a blessing to be there. This is right, verse 1 says. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children know in their hearts that this is right. Adults know this is right. Parents have more experience. Parents are older. Parents should be, and in most cases are, wiser. And parents love their children more than anyone else. In most cases. In verse 2, he goes on to say, honor your father and mother. Honor. Not only obey your parents, but honor them. Well, there's a way to obey in which you just do what you have to do and you hate it, and you do that with a rotten attitude. Well, that's not pleasing to the Lord. He says, not only obey them, but honor them, value them, love them, respect them as the parents God has given to you. And this commandment comes with a promise. Verse 3 fills it out. But notice that it says, which is the first commandment with a promise. And if we look at the commandments, this is the fifth, and there is a promise that comes earlier. And so we wonder, why is this called the first? Well, it could also be translated a commandment with primary importance. It is a commandment of importance that contains a promise. It is not first sequentially. It is not first in order of verses. But it is an important commandment with a promise. And the promise has two parts. Obey your parents, honor your parents. And the first part is that it may be well with you. In general, children who obey their parents will have a better life. Children who obey their parents, in general, will prosper because a person who is obedient, respectful, disciplined, and industrious will have a better life than a disrespectful, disobedient person. That's just the way God has ordered things. That's normally the way it works out. And the promise also says that you may live long on the earth. Now, when this was originally given in the Ten Commandments, of course, that included specifically life in the promised land that God was giving to His people. But the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit, widens this, and it applies not only to the promised land in the Old Testament period, but to here on the earth. And you may say, oh, whoa, wait a second. Because I know some people who were raised in Christian families and they died at an early age. That's true. But this is a general rule. Scripture gives us a number of general principles. In general, a person who obeys their parents will live a longer life, all things else being equal. Our larger catechism, number 133, explains this. It's an express promise of long life and prosperity as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good. It's a general promise. In general, those who are obedient and don't get into trouble and don't abuse their bodies and don't break the law will have a longer life in general. So it is to your benefit as well to obey your parents, but most of all, it glorifies God. Secondly, after children obey your parents, fathers, raise your children in the Lord, and that includes mothers. Verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. We have seen father and mother in verse 2 are to be honored. And father and mother are to raise, but of course the primary responsibility is upon the father. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Do not irritate them, do not exasperate them, do not enrage them. How can that happen? In many, many ways. Being too negative, commanding them to do things that are too hard to do, acting as though you are never pleased with them, making them do things that are contrary to the Word of God, not giving them room to be themselves. Some parents, I hate to say this, but some of us parents can want our children to be duplicates of us, clones of us. That's probably the worst thing we can do. We want them to have room to be themselves. Another thing that exasperates children is being inconsistent, changing the rules without notice. Children need to know what the barriers are and the standards. Not being loving constantly and encouraging. So God says, don't provoke your children to wrath. But bring them up, verse 4 says, bring them up, raise them, bring them up. You do this, you be active in the lives of your children. I'm sure you've heard this, what I've heard. A parent who says, I'm not going to lead my children in a certain way in regard to religion. I'm going to let my children make up their own mind. And that is said with such confidence. I know what I'm doing. But yet if the child runs to the street, do you think that parent will have something to say to the child? Be active. Bring them up. Rear them up to maturity and manhood and womanhood. Nourish them. Raise them tenderly, gently. Be active. Guide them. Show them the way. The raising of children takes time. Children who are left alone to themselves too much show it in the way they turn out. Children need constant care and supervision. Talking, praying with them, studying the Word with them, going to church together, doing lots of things together binds parent and child together. So be active and raise your children. Bring them up. And then bring them up in the training of the Lord. And this word for training means tutelage, education, disciplinary correction. It emphasizes what is done to and with the child. This one emphasizes what is done. So the discipline, of course, applies here. Discipline is done in self-control. It's very easy for parents to discipline when they're angry. You know these Proverbs. Proverbs 13:24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Proverbs 13:24. And then again, Proverbs 29:15. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Proverbs 29:15. Now be careful where you talk about this these days, lest someone think you've lost your mind. And we have to be careful in disciplining children, because we don't want to bruise them, hurt them, damage them. But they need discipline. Parent sets an example before his children by living and as a Christian disciple. Fathers, bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Verse 4 says the word for admonition emphasizes what is spoken to the child. There's what is done to the child and what is spoken to the child. Under admonition is correction, rebuke, and warning. Verbally, children need to be told certain things. There are a lot of things they don't know that parents know. They need to know what is right and wrong. They have a heart. They have a conscience. They know a lot of this. But they need to be reinforced from the mouth of their parents. The parents teach their children to repent of their sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow His ways. This is the training and admonition of the Lord, verse 4 says. We parents are not the final authority. The Lord is the final authority over children. And we parents serve under the Lord. So fathers and mothers, raise up your children in the training and admonition of the Lord. Thirdly, we see in Scripture that Christians are children of our Heavenly Father. We have a Father in heaven. Galatians 4:6 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." Galatians 4:6. Romans 8:15, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Romans 8:15. God is our Father. He has adopted us into His family. We have the perfect Father, God Himself. And we, His children, are supposed to obey our Father. He has given us commandments, primarily telling us to repent and to trust in His Son. Thank God, the obedience of His Son Christ counts for us, because we're a very disobedient people. And His only begotten Son makes atonement for us, His adopted children. We have the Spirit who enables us to obey. And part of that obedience is raising our children. Raising them in the Lord's ways. So, pray for the Lord's help. Dedicate yourself to obeying the Lord. But what if you don't have children? What about that? Then pray for those who do. Assist the parents by encouraging them and their children. In a larger sense, we, the Christian church, are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are a family. And we help each other, not only adults, but children as well. Christians are children of the Heavenly Father. So as we look at this passage, the Lord is telling us the duties of children and parents in the Christian home. And one verse comes to mind that Christians have heard of so many times. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Proverbs 22, verse 6. But sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes parents really teach their children the things of the Lord, and they deny the faith and depart from the church. Once again, this is one of the general principles in God's Word. Fathers and mothers cannot live for their children. Children have to take their own responsibility eventually. And so we parents do all that we can while we have our children home. And then they are responsible to the Lord for the rest of their lives. Sometimes we parents make mistakes and sin, not only in general, but in our parenting. We can be forgiven. We can repent. Sometimes children sin. They can be forgiven. They can repent. It's not a lost cause. The Lord Jesus Christ perfectly obeyed His Heavenly Father. He is the perfect Son. He should be the focus of every Christian home and every Christian person. We can trust Him. We can follow Him. And we will be blessed. Take a cue from God. What is God's plan for His children? Well, listen to Romans 8:29. Here is God's plan for His children. "Those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." Romans 8:29. You may want a lot of things for your children.
Yeah.
Some parents have a strong desire for what their children should be, what their children should do. But do you desire this? Do you desire this most of all? If you desire and pray for and work for and strive for your children to be conformed to Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, you will do well. Amen. Let us pray.